Blog Talk Radio.
I've never seen a leftist that made sense. Their ideology only works in the movie. And they're not proud of human nature. In a torn up world, no balls will envy. But every lib's like hormones, fairness, genderless bathrooms, butthurt, ballless, trash and Christianity, they don't care. They're changing reality to suit their dreams, but every lib's like prop hate, Title IX, homogenized people, ignore nature, you all get a trophy, outlaw DDT, give you all malaria, and we will never be equal. It doesn't run in our blood. The pussy world just ain't for us. We crave those who never fuss. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Jake P. And baby, I'll rule. I'll rule. Us back to sanity.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Jake Pentland Show. I am your host, benevolent bully and cult leader Jake Pentland. I am joined by Jen.
Hi, Jake Madeline. Pentland.
Hey, Jen. How are you?
I'm just
and
fantastic.
Also Eli.
How are you doing?
Oh, sorry. I'm supposed to let you
talk. Hi, everybody.
That's what we're working on. Wait, I'm supposed to throw to each one of you so we don't talk over each other. That was the new thing. So let's start. Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm great, Jake. How are you doing?
That's good. And Eli, how are you?
I'm fine, Jake. How are you?
That's great. So that works better, so we don't talk over each other. But can you guys respond in under 5 seconds? Like, for instance, when I say, hey, Jen, how are you doing? Why do I have to hear dead air for, like, 3 full seconds before you answer? Are you, like, taking a deep breath? Are you nervous?
I'm probably swallowing beer.
That was, like, 2 seconds. We're going to speed this up. We only got an hour show. Anyway, lots to get to. But I got a text from my dear friend, Jen, who's also my co-host, who took a picture of her husband's text. And I know we have a news story planned, Jen, but I'm just gonna change gears for a second because I find this hilarious. He said to you something very sweet. Hold on, let me pull it up. This is what Jen's like, everybody, in case people wonder. Poor bastard husband. he's going to kill himself. All right, so Jen sends me a picture. Her husband says, and I quote, "Look how sweet this is. All the ladies are going to cream their pants. When I look at my boys," because Jen and her husband have 3 boys, "when I look at my boys, it makes me realize you are my true love." How sweet is that? Here's Jen's response. "I'm not sucking on your balls tonight." Exclamation point. Now, I just got to go right into this. Now, you did say you followed up with something sweet, and I'm proud of you, but you also texted me after sending this, "Is this real?" So this is what I want to ask you. You think when your husband says something very sweet that he's working some kind of angle or something out, right? He was just trying to get a blowjob?
I was dead serious, yeah. Do you really think that's something that's meaningful? Like, does he love us? Yes. But is there an ulterior motive? Is he really trying to get laid, was my question.
See,
like,
you're not alone.
I bet
if a lot of married women or even women in relationships like called, I bet if you asked them, most of them would answer, yeah, he's trying to get something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, and again, people call in, please. The number is 323-417-6705. We're going to cover some news stories. We're going to talk about the Miami Dolphin pussy that quit football because people were mean to him. That's probably what we're going to talk about the most. We'd love your calls and opinions. This is a talk show. It requires calls, so please stop being scared. Again, 323-417-6705. Anyway, I sometimes just have a moment. I'll look at my wife or something will be going on, and I'll just feel, you know, like, wow, life's good. And then I'll look at her and say something sweet. And she has a similar response to you have. So do you think it's impossible that Richie just couldn't just been sitting there and seeing your boys and just had, like, a nice moment and wanted to tell you he loved you? Like, is that even possible to you?
It's possible. But you honestly tell me the truth, okay? What if your wife turned and looked at you and said, "Jake, you are so handsome, and I love you so much. You mean the world to me." Don't you think she's about to ask you for, like, a Chanel purse or something?
That would scare me, but that's just because my wife is just not a sweet person ever. Like, there's not, like, if there were moments like that once in a while, then I go, oh, she's having a moment. But since she's never nice to me, then no, that would be weird. I see what you're saying. But Richie's nice to you all the time. At least from what
I've
seen.
No, he's not. But yeah, his nature is sweet. He's a sweet guy.
Well, anyway, I just let him know I've got his back, that he just, I think he's just trying to be sweet and say something sweet. Because here's the other thing. If you want your woman to, like, lick your balls or do something dirty, then you don't you don't go the sweet route. This is Jake 101. People, write this down. As a sexpert that I am, you don't go, oh, I love you, and see in my children's eyes, I see your heart. That you might get missionary and maybe, like, Adele playing and some candles. But you're not going to get what you want. If you want the ball licking, you've got to trial. You don't go the sweet route. And I'm sure Richie knows this. So,
yes.
Anyway, let's move on.
Go
oh, we
any
lost
route. He really. Oh, but you have arm, and he made sure to
well,
put that
just,
in.
What the hell? You know, people call, and they want to talk. That's what we do. It's an open forum. Arm, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jake and John.
Hi, Arm.
I promise I won't over-talk this time. I just wanted to hear your comments, especially, well, actually both of you, about Alec Baldwin and his rant, his homophobic or anti-homophobic rant on MSNBC, and how he was pulled off the air for 2 weeks because of that. And also, I was curious what you think about Ronan's show being on MSNBC, and, you know, Amia's very against Eminem and, you know, anti-gay rants and stuff like that. So we're just curious what your opinion on was on that.
Well, let's start with the first one, Alec Baldwin. Now, from what I understand, the Alec Baldwin story is that he called, I think, a paparazzi.
Paparazzi,
to his
yep.
face. He called him a faggot, like when he said, get off me, faggot, or something, right? Is that catch me up on the story. I don't
well,
follow
another word was,
too well.
Another word was used there, too.
What was the other word?
Gosh, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm cocksucker.
It's Jake Pelin show. We have to say it.
Did you say cocksucker, Arm?
I know, but Jen, I can't even tweet the roundtable word to you, so it's start.
Wait, hold on. What was the word? Make Arm say it, because he's obviously uncomfortable. This is therapy. What was the other term?
The C.
It's just a word.
The C word. Round table,
cunt. He can't say cunt. But what's the word that Alec Baldwin said?
Hold on. Well, you can't say cunt?
I don't want to talk about that part.
Oh no, dude, I'm laser locked. This is Jake Pelin. I am the mental health professional who frees people from their own shackles. We must free. It's just so. Let me hear you say cunt.
One of your cult members or something. I just think it's the funniest thing. They call themselves the C word of the round table, and so they talk about that to discuss and everything, and it's just funny. It's just a funny term, like expression.
It's a very funny term. That's the point. It's just a word. It's just syllables. It's your intent behind it. We've talked about this a lot on this show. I'm actually glad that you're having trouble, because I can show how true this is. If somebody just asks you to make a sound, all I'm asking you to do is make the sound. I'm not asking you to go out and find some, like, sweet old lady and, you know, throw a bag of flaming shit on her and call her a cunt. Just say the word cunt. It's C-U-N-T.
No, it's just one of those words like the N-word and
wait a minute.
And,
did you see the video where Samuel L. Jackson was being interviewed? It's one of my favorite videos on the internet. And it's Samuel L. Jackson. He's doing some press for a movie. And there's this white guy interviewing him. I can't remember the movie. I think it was Django. And this white guy's like, well, you know, was it hard being on the set? Would they use the N-word so much? And Samuel Jackson looks at him. He's like, the what? And he's like, you know, the N-word. And Samuel Jackson made him, he's like, say nigger. Why can't you say nigger? And the guy couldn't do it, much like this. And Samuel Jackson held him to the fire. I believe he finally came through with it. And it was a very wonderful moment for that guy. So I'm not moving on with this show, Arm, until you say the word cunt. I will sit and wait. We will go dead air silent. Save my show.
How about I can't say it.
Can you spell it? How about you spell it?
The C-U-N-T word, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so you can spell it now. Yeah. So you've made every sound along the gradient of the word. So now I just sound it out. C-U-N-T, sound it out.
Yeah. I said I can't say it very well.
Can't, okay. I'll let it go. All right. Well, Conte, that's good.
Leave the poor guy alone. Jeez. Why are you trying to corrupt the world?
It's not about corrupting. It's just, here's the thing. It's not about corrupting.
I know. No, no.
All right.
I know, I get your point. But what I get, for me, it's like a bragging point. Like, to women, I could say I don't say the C word, and I could say I don't say the N word unless I'm singing along with a rap song. And to gay men, I say don't say the F word, and, you know, not fuck, but the other F word. But, yeah, anyway. Anyhow, but that's back to Alec Baldwin. Back to Alec
okay,
Baldwin.
So we'll move on. So Alan Baldwin called him a cunt faggot? Is that what I'm getting?
No. cock-sucking faggot.
Oh, well, see, this is the problem. When you say C-word, that can be a million words. Like, how are we supposed to communicate clearly? I don't even know what word you're using.
I'm sorry. That was just something between me and John. That's right. I was that's something, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So cock-sucking faggot.
Followers,
that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so
right.
To some clear, he called him
and
a cock-sucking
faggot.
And
this is like his 20th explosion at paparazzi. He really hates paparazzi. I don't think he hates gay guys. It's just that, you know, obviously it's a horrible thing to say.
But there's no way that really Alec Baldwin could know that the paparazzi, that it was a gay man, the paparazzi. Paparazzo, if it's one. I mean, yeah. And he's also known for being very liberal, too. So he's on MSNBC for the show. So, yeah, he just has a very bad temper. And
I mean, he trashed his own daughter. You know, he called her a pig or
whole
slob.
Thing, yeah.
All right, here's the thing about Alec Baldwin. All right, here's the deal. He is an actor, okay? I say this all the time. A lot of people think it's because they're famous or that they're rich that they're somehow got their shit together. That's just the natural way people approach celebrity, which I've always found kind of amusing because I don't understand where that comes from. Just because someone's famous or has a talent doesn't mean they're not fucked up. Like Whitney Houston, for instance, is a crackhead that can sing really well. But a lot of people don't see, like, wait a minute. When you ask them, they'll go, well, no, she was a crackhead. And they're like, no, she was talented. It's like when you say Michael Jackson had sex with children and people flip out. So I don't understand why people think just because you're famous and you have money that you're not screwed up. So Alec Baldwin obviously is a really angry dude. I mean, he flipped out at a flight attendant for asking him to turn off Words with Friends while the door was closed.
I remember that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And he got up and he kicked the bathroom door on the airplane like a child because she told him to put her toy away. So obviously,
right,
Alec Baldwin.
I think the difference, yeah, and you're right, but I think the difference now is that he's gone from being an actor performer to having an actual show on MSNBC where he is a commentator slash news person, I guess.
Right. Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't even.
But
so MSNBC,
Bill O'Reilly is a commentator too, and we've all seen that guy flip out when he was on Inside Edition. You know, the famous "fuck it, we'll do it live," and screaming at the teleprompter operator again. Just because someone's a political analyst or on TV doesn't mean they're not a huge asshole. So my thing about Alec Baldwin is that he's obviously an angry guy, and he's obviously a liberal in the bad sense of the word, because the behavior is, you know, I want equality and I want fairness, so he's going to go on NBC and he's going to talk politics about the little guy, and then when someone asks him to put his toy away on an airplane, he's going to kick the bathroom door and throw a big bitch fit. So obviously he's just your typical run-of-the-mill liberal actor, and, you know, I'm happy he got a show. As far as calling someone a cocksucking faggot, obviously that's insensitive if the guy was a homosexual, but I have the feeling that Alec Baldwin was just in one of those Alec Baldwin anger spirals and was just saying anything that came to mind. I don't see him as the kind of guy that would single out a homosexual and then say, you're a cocksucking faggot. So,
I
use the word faggot when,
like,
I get angry.
Like a Long Island spoiled kid, like, you know, the Baldwin brothers kind of, they're, some of them are conservative, way conservative. One's a Jesus freak, and then the other one's a liberal. One of them went to my college in Binghamton. So.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, again, people think, oh, they're actors and they're famous, they're fine. But Alec Baldwin's, you know, a total hissy fit guy who calls his own daughter a fat little piggy on her voicemail because she wouldn't answer her phone. Daniel Baldwin was found in a hotel room naked and covered in blood, and everything in the hotel room was broken. Stephen Baldwin not only is a Jesus freak, the guy is trying to start his own church. His own church where he's like the head priest. So you look at that, obviously, let's move on. Obviously those boys that grew up in that house, there's something wrong with that household. There's something wrong with those parents. Whatever those boys were raised in, I would love to meet the Baldwin parents. Because you've got one brother who's a drug addict, the other one's a total asshole, and the other one's a Jesus freak. You fucked up. That's all I know. Those parents fucked up sometime.
Well, then Billy Baldwin's wife, China, was mamas and papas grew up with, you know, stoners and drugs and free love and all that stuff. And then she found Jesus, too, actually, now. So it's really...
China, like the dude, China?
No.
No, China,
China Phillips.
Wilson Phillips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was the
but
cute blonde,
someone,
for sure.
So, yeah, when I was just finding out some... a gay friend of mine, a man who actually was one who told me about Baldwin, and then Ronan's name came up just because Ronan's going to have a show on MSNBC, and he wouldn't be, you know, him and Mia have spoken out against Eminem and other entertainers who have used, you know, anti-homophobic things. So I just was wondering, you know, what you thought about that, too.
Well, here's the thing.
Ronan's
when you say
show,
Ronan, for people who don't know, are you speaking of Ronan?
Oh,
Farrell?
I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah.
We always talk about Ronan, but that's Mia Farrow's kid, and up until a few weeks ago, it was believed it was Woody Allen's kid, but she finally came out and admitted that she was a big old whore in the 60s and fucked a bunch of dudes, and that he's probably Frank Sinatra's kid. And, of course, if you look at the picture of him and Frank Sinatra, it's obvious he is Frank Sinatra's kid and not Woody Allen's.
And he is
a very
fine.
Kid.
He is so fine.
And he was a boy genius. Jake, he was a boy wonder. He worked in the White House.
78 years old if he fathered. I'm sorry, I'm just saying, you realize Frank Sinatra would have been in his 70s if he fathered that child?
Chairman of the board, baby.
Come on, look at Trump and shit, people, you guys can father people forever.
He also would have cheated on his last wife, who he was really, you know, supposedly in love with, too. I mean, yeah, I just think Woody's getting a director's Achievement Award and the Golden Globes in January, and his new movie. They're talking about Cate Blanchett's going to get an Oscar for it. And
hold on,
I don't know. I just
you're jumping
Mia,
around a little bit. Let's
stick
on Ronan for a second. Ronan
Farrow
is getting a show on MSNBC. You're saying?
Yes, Ronan's going to get it in January as well. January, February.
Okay.
Yeah, as well.
Well,
sorry.
You know, the thing about Ronan, you know, I'm happy for him. He is a boy wonder. I have a personal emotional issue with him because one time, my mother, in one of her Twitter tirades trying to be offensive and mean to me, said, "Why can't you be more like Ronan Farrow?" I think this went back a couple of years. So, of course, I'd never heard of the guy. So I look him up, and within 5 seconds, you know, because I have an eye. I mean, I'm a man god, for Christ's sakes. I see right through people. I'm like, oh, he's a homosexual. He's a closeted homosexual. Which is fine. No judgment. But I told her, so when she said, "Why can't you be more like Ronan Farrow?" I responded, "Because I like vagina." Well, Mom flipped out. This is one of the first times I got fired because I guess she's friends with Mia Farrow. And then the whole Ronan army came and was like, "He worked for Obama. He's a genius." And it's like, dude, I just said he's a closet homosexual. I didn't say there's anything wrong with him. But anyway, so Arm, you're asking because you and I always joke. Let's move on. I just want to say I'm happy that
a closet
homosexual has a show on MSNBC. That's great.
Right, not even joke, but I'm just wondering, you know, like how this fits in with their whole scheme of things at MSNBC because, you know, you have some people who are outspoken, me and Ronan, about, and I don't know, Jen, what do you think? I mean, with Alec Baldwin trash talking angry like that, should he be on that MSNBC lineup with like that, angry like that, or is it like Al Sharpton?
Yeah,
enough,
I
do you
mean,
think,
it's entertainment. Of course I would want him on there. I love explosive people. I just don't want to hang out with him. You know, like, I don't mind watching him explode, whatever, but at least he's not going to rehab like everybody else for it. He's just letting it out. Like, he's dealing with life because he's an asshole. But, yeah, I think he should be on TV for sure. MSNBC,
because with Alec and Ronan, it just seems like it's getting to be more, MSNBC is kind of getting like Fox almost, like the liberal version. It's going to be like more, you know, show-oriented than actual news-oriented.
I'd say any news that's not paper, like newspapers, is going to have to be entertaining in that way. So, I mean, that kind of news I watch for entertainment and a little bit of info. I get my best stories from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Weekend Update. Or Twitter. Yeah, no, I mean, the basis for cable news is ARM, just so you understand. I don't mean to be condescending, but in case you haven't thought about it.
No, it's okay.
This is a network that sells their airtime to advertisers. This is how TV works. So, basically, this is why you always want big ratings and why shows that have higher ratings have higher paid actors, in case people didn't know the math. The reason is, when you have higher ratings, a company will pay a higher price for a commercial spot. And then the actors like Charlie Sheen will get $90 million an episode or whatever it works. So when you're doing cable news, you're doing it for the sake to make money. Otherwise, you would just hand out free papers. So this is a business expense for all these, for Fox, for MSNBC, for CNN. So you have to understand, for them to compete in the marketplace and for them to be able to pay their anchors and news staff, they have to generate ratings. They have to sell a good number to advertisers to make money. So their first priority is to their stockholders and to make money. It's not about reporting a news story or doing anything. So like Jen said, what do we think about him? Alec Baldwin's perfect. He's going to draw a bigger audience because he's a celebrity. Plus, he's got a history of blow-ups. I bet a lot of people will tune in just to see if he calls his daughter a fat little piggy or whatnot, and they'll get exactly what they want. They'll sell the airtime for advertisers, and we'll all collectively be dumber. All right.
No,
I understand that. So. Thank you. Oh,
yeah.
No, one final thought?
I have a degree in marketing, and I totally understand that. I'm just worried about the purity of news. The purity of news, though. I mean, if you think that there's really, I mean, getting celebrities involved now, you know, is there still, because, you know, Ronan thinks he does know the news and stuff, so is there a fine line between that or not? That's all I'm wondering.
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, Bill O'Reilly, one of the most popular commentators on television, was an Inside Edition host, and Inside Edition was a rag, you know, like a celebrity
National
rag.
National Fire TV. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, exactly, it was Inquirer TV. So they've been doing this a lot. Like, how many people on these cable news or these talking heads are people that have ever ran for public office or ever ran a business? It's none of them. I don't know about even Sean Hannity, I believe, was some public speaker. I got to look him up. But these guys, one after another, they have a good public persona, but they're gossip queens. That's what it is. And I don't have a problem with that necessarily. What scares me is that when a news story breaks, for instance, the one we're going to talk about right now is the Jonathan Martin story, the football player in Miami that quit the Miami Dolphins.
Miami Dolphins, quote unquote, bullied.
When you
bullied,
read the news, you think, you know, you hear that the other player, Richie Incognito, left him a voicemail calling him a nigger, and you hear all this, and you hear bullying and racial taunts. Well, the way the news reports it, you think this guy was basically like a victim of repeated hate crimes and was pushed around, and of course that's what gets more ratings for cable news. That's how they're going to report it. But the more we've been digging on the Jake Pentland Show into this story, and I'm going to move on, Arm. I'm sorry. You can stay on.
Yep.
And talk
go right ahead. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about that because I saw the
NFL.
And thanks
for all your stories that you send
thank
us,
you.
Arm.
And thank you for calling. I wish more people would call. Everyone be more like Arm, people. Because we had a whole show planned, and now we got to have a nice little talk, and I got to rag on celebrities, so I'm happy. Thank you, Arm, very much.
Okay.
Anyway, Jen, so this Incognito story, I started researching it and talking, even Eli, who knows a lot about it. This guy, Jonathan Martin is his name, is a 24-year-old kid. Okay? Keep in mind, a lot of people think because they're football players, they're like grown-ass men. You know, because they're big. But he's 24. He's a two-year pro. Remember being 24?
Oh, yeah, barely. Because I was, like, on cocaine and shit. No, I'm just kidding.
From what I remember, we weren't in mental hospitals and cutting ourselves. No, but, I mean, he's basically 6 years removed from high school. He's just fresh out of college age, for Christ's sake. I mean, he's never even had a real job. A lot of people forget that. But basically what's happened here, from what I can gather, is there's really been no taunting or bullying. Of course, we all know how I feel about that fucking word. It drives me crazy. What happened was this guy, Jonathan Martin, is a graduate of Harvard Westlake, which is a high school here in L.A. that even Eli knows about. Eli, how would you explain Harvard Westlake?
It's basically like a very preppy, very it's a high school where, like, very smart kids go to enrich kids.
Right. And it's usually the parents of these kids are usually fairly wealthy, yes?
Very, yeah.
Yeah. This is the school, Jen, in case you don't know, where, like, in the 80s movies, when, like, the ragtag bunch of nerds would, like, steal the mascot of the evil Alpha Lambda fraternity, in, like, every 80s movie, Harvard Westlake is an evil place. It's all completely entitled rich kids, and they're all collected. Their fucking school's up in a mountain, for Christ's sakes, in L.A. Okay, so this guy, Jonathan Martin, is the son of two lawyers, two very educated and wealthy people, and went to a very protected high school. And now he goes to college, and he happens to be physically gifted enough to make it into the National Football League as an offensive lineman. And There are roughly, I think, 2,300 NFL players in the world, and there's 6 billion people on the planet. So it's a very, very small fraternity to get into. You have to be, you know, exceptionally physically gifted. So this kid happens to be big enough and athletic enough to get in the NFL, but he's grown up in this completely entitled, you know, completely pussified home and generation. The stuff that I talk about on this show every week when people say, God, why are you so angry? This is what's happened. I've been seeing this for years, and this stuff's going to start happening. Guys are going to start quitting football teams. They're going to start quitting their jobs. These kids are now, these pussy kids are growing up to be 24 and 25. They're going out in the workforce field, and they're starting to take over. And here's a kid who's been completely protected his entire life, goes into the NFL, which is basically a collection of a bunch of thugs. Okay, these guys aren't like, you know, Rhodes Scholars for the most part. They're guys that got off on being big. They've been doing steroids since they were 14. And when they rape or beat someone when they're 16, they get covered by the coach so they can get to the NFL. And so you have this group, and then this little Jonathan Martin guy comes in who's like, oh, I went to Harvard-Westlake, and they haze him like every football team does to every rookie, and he quits. He got up and walked out in the middle of lunch with the cafeteria guys and quit football. He didn't just quit the team, he quit football. And now he's suing them. So, Eli, from what we can gather, basically what happened was they got up when he sat down, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's suing them. I think there's just an NFL investigation as to what took place.
Well, he has a lawyer, you know.
Well, yeah, his mother's a lawyer, and I think he was interviewed from an NFL attorney for like 7 hours, but there's no like official lawsuit yet. There's just an investigation.
My mistake, because I saw he had his own representation, so I put two and two together. Richie Incognito, the guy who quote-unquote bullied him, has been suspended by the Dolphins for the rest of the year, indefinitely is the term they use. So that could be forever.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be pending the investigation. So all the stuff we can see, the quote-unquote bullying, is that the only thing reported is Richie Incognito called him a nigger on voicemail, which is, you know, offensive. However,
once that sounded about, I'm going to rape your sister. I thought I heard that, too.
That was Jonathan Martin, according to... Well, Eli, you catch up. You know more about this than I do. Jonathan Martin was the one that said, I'm going to rape your sister, right?
Well, I don't know the specifics, but they've had over 1,000 text messages amongst each other, over 1,000. And a lot of the conversation was, you know, talking, threatening each other, joking around, threatening each other again. It was a very odd way of communicating amongst teammates, but apparently a lot of this takes place in a lot of locker rooms, whether no matter what position they're in. So
immature, Jen. Your position is giggle.
No matter.
Well, we've ruined you, Jen. You were such a nice like mother when I met you. Now you're like a 14-year-old boy. I'm so proud.
It was all a front.
We brought it out. Well, okay, here's the thing. Let's call it like it is. They're texting like dudes text. Or like me, the way you, Jen, and I text each other during the week. If those ever became public, we would all be sued by multiple people. And I just think that when you have a private conversation in text, it's really hard, again, why I got so mad at Arm, even in his own show, that he couldn't say cunt, is that there's so little focus on intent. Nobody even cares. So when you hear, oh, he said nigger on voicemail or they texted, nobody's even understanding if this was even a joke between the two or if this was the nature of the relationship. Intent itself is not in the discussion. And I find that so bizarre because, first of all, just saying nigger, just saying it, doesn't mean anything. It's just a word. So, you know, if they were joking, for instance, if Incognito and this Martin guy were friends and they made racial jokes and Martin called him honky cracker, I mean, you don't know the nature of the relationship. Is that offensive? If that's the nature of the relationship, I mean, if they understand it's a joke between each other and nobody's feelings are getting hurt, is that offensive? Like, if I were to call you a stupid Jewy kike, Eli, is that offensive?
It depends where you're coming from in the context of the conversation.
You're a stupid Jewy kike. Just like that. Are you offended?
Yeah, like, well, who's it from, and what are we
No, I just called you a stupid Jewy money-grabbing kike. It's me. It's your
okay.
buddy, I'm saying. Are you offended?
Yeah. Not
no.
really, no.
Okay, thank you. So these guys had 1,000 text messages together. They were on the same team, spent
countless
hours together.
But that's because you're a Jewy fucking kike, though. Hang on. This is a white guy calling a black guy a nigger, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that's the difference, too. Just so you know, you're a Jewy kike, so you can call him a Jewy kike. That's the whole rule, remember? Like,
okay, you're a stupid sperm deposit, Jen. You're a meaningless... Are you offended? What's that?
It's true. I said, well, that one's true.
Well, it's true that Jeremy Martin's back. All right, let's take a phone call, because let's see if someone can bring some semblance to this conversation. Brown Beasley is on the air. I don't know.
Good afternoon. It's Brown Beasley. Your assessment was pretty on point, except there's something. Well, there's. Well, I'm impressed that you knew about Harvard Westlake. I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that the NBA player or ex-NBA player now that came out last year as gay. Went to the is a legacy of Harvard Westlake and also of Stanford. Yes, they are intellectual and probably financial elitists. You're forgetting that Jonathan Martin is biracial. Okay, he comes from a different culture. But I'll cut to the chase. What's not being mentioned? This is an entire huge cover up. By the NFL, ESPN, and the Dolphins, is that Jonathan Martin is gay. And that's part of the reason why this hazing continued into the second year. You don't hear about hazing continuing into the second year. Why? Because primarily it doesn't. Once someone, and he started all games as a rookie. So he was a member of this team. This hazing continued because he was gay. I would even go as far to say that he and Richie Incognito at one point engaged in a homosexual relationship. This is the information that they don't want to get out. A side note, I think it was the teammates that said that they would run a train on his sister and do all kinds of things to his sister. But Jonathan Martin is gay. Richie Incognito and he were involved in a homosexual relationship that went bad, and this is the results of the breakup.
Well, I got to cut you off for 1 second. I find this fascinating. My really good friend, his girlfriend, has had the same theory. She didn't go as far as to say that they were engaged in an affair, but she was looking at this objectively, going, "Why is this the case? And how do you claim bullying in football when their jobs are basically to bash each other's heads in for a living?" And the
exactly.
only thing she
exactly.
concluded was that he must be a homosexual because. There was one part of the story that I do remember being mentioned, that coaches had told Incognito and the other players to sort of haze him into the second year to, quote-unquote, toughen him up. And
they wanted to run him off the team.
Well, they wanted to toughen
him
up because I heard he had a, quote-unquote, feminine side. That was reported.
Yeah, he was probably a bottom, and Incognito was probably on the top. I guess they may consider it. The hazing went real far. Jeff Ireland, who's the general manager of the Dolphins, is a real, you know, class act. This is the guy that asked Dez Bryant during his, you know, his preliminary interviews as far as before the draft, after his mother was a prostitute. He's also the guy. That whole staff from the general manager down at the Dolphins is just, you know, they're lame ducks. They're on the way out of here. He's also the guy that when Martin's agent, after Martin left the team, approached him and told him about the alleged bullying. Yeah, you don't bully NFL players. That's crap. It's a bullying game if you've ever played it. It's a game of bullies and intimidation. So you don't get to that level. Unless you're a bully. He told him that he should punch Incognito in the face. But that's my theory. It's not being discussed. Martin's going to get a huge settlement, and he'll be able to do whatever the heck he wants to do. Money-wise, he's going to get a huge settlement because they do not want this to come out. You know, this is the kinder, gentler, softer NFL where they wear pink all the time. For breast cancer awareness. I'm so aware of breast cancer. I'm more aware of breast cancer than I ever have been. This is the game where where there's no longer hitting with the helmet. It's a softened game. It's a new paradigm. And they do not want to offend the gay community with the new gay, well, not necessarily new, but with the clearly evident gay agenda that's sweeping.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't, I mean, some people might be listening and thinking you're absurd. I'm with you. Here's the thing. Switch that he's gay. Just hear me out for a second. Let's say, hypothetically, in your theory, that he's not actually a homosexual, but that he's a giant, giant pussy. Okay? Now, the NFL itself, as you said, is becoming pussified. Everything is becoming pussified. And I've been ranting about this for years. Now he's a point where here's a guy at 24 years old is kind of the new school. These kids are going to start coming out more and more into the NFL. I'm 24 or 25 now, that were raised in the pussy generation. Now, they're going into an old school sort of gladiator mentality place where these owners, these general managers, these coaches, and some of these players are in their 30s to mid-30s, where they're kind of the old school. I think what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing a lot of guys, it's not that they're gay, in my opinion. It's that they've never been hazed. They've never actually ever been around a big group of men that are going to treat them like shit. They've been protected. They've gone to schools like Harvard, Westlake.
Have you ever played organized football?
No, I've never played organized football, but I'm with you. High school sports,
hazing
more...
starts at the Pop Warner level.
Yeah,
I played
that's my point.
In Southern California. Pop Warner, each time you go up a level, there's some form of hazing, and it gets more intense. In high school, it's intense, in college, it's intense, and it's a way of welcoming you into the club, kind of like a joining a sorority or a fraternity. This is nothing new. It doesn't just start in the NFL. Yes, this is a pussified generation that has no work ethic with.
Right.
People like myself, I don't have kids, but people my age in their 40s that spoiled the shit out of these little brat bastard kids that don't want to work, don't want to do anything, and that whine. That's
Thank
the truth.
You. Thank
that's
you.
The truth. That
I know
that,
it
that's
is.
The
Believe
truth.
Me, I know it
no,
is.
No, that's absolutely the truth. It's evidenced in my nieces and nephews. You know, they whine. They whine. So you're right on point there, but what they're not discussing and what they're not mentioning is that Jonathan Martin knows what penis tastes like. Ricky Cognito may know what penis tastes like as well, and this is why this is happening. And he knew this was the perfect timing. He's a smart kid, and they say one of the true characteristics of intelligence is to be able to understand causes, effect, and what possibly could happen in the future.
Well, then I'm a
incognito,
genius.
Well, you know, what possibly could happen in the future, or even thinking in those terms. Incognito, you know, is a meatloaf head. He's nothing special. He's a big dummy, and he walked right into this.
Well, I got to take this next call. I appreciate your phone call.
Good.
Call again. I remember you called once before. You have a show on Blog Talk, right?
Nah, not really. I don't have a passion for this. I prefer to call in. I've done a couple of things just to get some stuff off my chest.
Well, please call
well,
in all the time.
Calling.
I love your
Pardon
phone
me?
Calls. Thank you, Brown. I want to get to Brody, but I do think before I go to Brody that. But I just want to say this real quick to you, Jen, because you have three boys, okay?
Oh, yes.
Now, I got this from my mother, and I think it's just the problem when you're an intelligent person, is I see so far ahead in the future, okay? I'm being real here for a second.
Okay.
This anti-pussy agenda that's pretty much become the theme of the Jake Pentland Show, we're to the point where I'm sort of repeating myself and I sound like a mad lunatic. I've been seeing this frightening vision of the future, almost Orwellian, and not about government control, but just a nation of people that are so terrified of just human nature that they'll shut down at the very existence of a normal behavior. For instance, being hazed, you're in a locker room with a bunch of guys. That's been around since the beginning of time. And now you have a generation of kids that have been so protected. I'm not even making fun of Jonathan Martin or anybody. I mean, I feel bad for the kid. I know what it's like to be a rich kid. I get it. Harvard, Westlake, trust me, there's no hazing or bullying. Any of those kids have a problem, a lawyer's there to take care of it. Their mommy's there to take care of it. Their daddy's there to take care of it. These kids are not pushed or punished in any way. And the thing is, the reason that I've been so scared is because I think about what happens when these kids become adults and they go out into the real world. They're going to shit their pants. And granted, football is an exaggerated locker room mentality, and to compare it to a boardroom seems silly, but it's the same thing. When these kids start going into regular offices, regular jobs, they're going to start quitting I swear to God, they're going to start freaking out. They're going to get up and walk out. This is a nation of kids that they feel that if you tell them they do anything wrong or if they get an incorrect answer on a test, that you're bullying them. Every one of these kids has been praised and told they're special from the time they were born for no fucking reason. Every one of these kids has been given a trophy merely for participation. They are not prepared for the insanity that is the real world, and I feel terrified. When I saw this Jonathan Martin story, I wasn't thinking, oh, here's a funny story about an NFL player like everyone else was. I was thinking, it's happening, and so it begins. And by the time this starts to break left and right, I will at least be on the air and have been saying it for 5 to 10 years, and at least by then people will start to listen. This is just the beginning of something that's going to happen all the time. These kids are not going to make it. That's all I want to say.
I know you have Brody on hold right there, but really quick, we had a taekwondo tournament this morning, and at their practice a few days ago, they said, this one little girl raised his hand, and she literally said, is everybody going to get a trophy? And the instructor said, oh, yeah, there will be a trophy for everybody. And I was disgusted in a little way, but they are little. But when they get at the tournament today, Cooper got second for what he did and for his forms. And Parker got a competitor trophy, which is participation. I have to say I was very thankful, though, because I did not want him to fucking cry. I was just so over it.
You know what I would have done? If my kid got a participation trophy, I would have taken the trophy home and broke it in front of him and be like,
you would not have, because if you saw Parker's face, he was so happy, because you know what? He did go out there in front of people. That takes a lot of courage and, you know, put on his little performance, you know, that he had to do.
I know I'm going to sound cruel here. Trust me. Sometimes
you wouldn't do it.
You're
so full of shit, just so you know.
I'm not full of shit.
He sleeps with these trophies. There's no way you would do that to your kid.
He's going to be gay. I'm telling you. You got to be careful. So here's the thing. Sometimes the most benevolent, responsible thing you can do as a parent or as a role model to a child is let them know that the real world isn't pretty and it isn't fair. I remember that's what we all heard when we were kids, right? Life isn't fair. Whenever I complained to my dad for something, he'd say, well, life's not fair. I didn't like it at the time. I probably threw a huge bitch fit. I was a child, for Christ's sakes. But as an adult, I'm glad that was conditioned in me, because now when something happens, I go, yeah, life's not fair. I don't expect it to be fair. And I don't flip out when it isn't. I think, what can I do to make this situation better? And I accept that it's not fair. I don't have illusions or delusions that I'm entitled to anything. And, yeah, I understand your kid's sad that he got, you know, basically a loser trophy.
He's not sad. He's just fine with it.
Yeah, but think about what you're teaching him. Or not you, but this Taekwondo kid is like, look, you don't even have to try, because we're going to make you feel good and praise you for whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to say, oh, I've got trophies in Taekwondo. You're going to go out in the street. So when he's 19, someone's going to push on his girlfriend, and he's going to think, oh, man, I fucking rule at Taekwondo. I got trophies for years. Check this out. And he's not going to know how to do shit. And he's going to get his ass kicked. And then the guy's going to teabag him and urinate on him. That's how the world works. That's what I'm saying. When you get a trophy
what really happened is his brother got second, because there was competition. There was first, second, and third place trophies. But he patted his brother's back, and he was awesome about it. It was better than watching him, like, freak out and have a meltdown. I've had enough meltdowns. I didn't need one today.
I hear you. Let's go to Brody. Oh, Brody just hung up.
Oh, no.
I think I'm going to hope he dropped, because he got really upset last week that he was on hold and we didn't get to him in a time. And if he did hang up and he's having a bitch fit, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to give him 10 seconds before I go off on him to call back.
And that's my fault, because I want to tell my trophy story, but it was relevant.
It's a fucking talk show. When you're talked to. No. If he throws a bitch fit about this, I'm going to snap. This is what I'm talking about. Think about it. I call into your show, you should talk to me when I'm ready. What kind of entitlement shit is that? People don't understand the fucking world. Eventually, all of us are going to die, and these children that we've raised are going to run the world. It's the passing of the torch. If you have an entire generation and planet run by people that feel entitled and get upset when they don't get their way, what's going to happen when every single one of them feels that way and is in charge of policy and is in charge of running the world? Why doesn't that terrify anybody? Does it terrify you, Jen? Or am I crazy? I'm crazy.
No, I mean, I think they have to learn disappointment. And at this age, what they did is a more gentle way of teaching them disappointment because, like I said, they did separate the types of trophies. So, but no, my kids get disappointed on a regular basis. I'm their mother. Come on. So they, and I do think it's important, cause, and I'll tell, you know, I'll explain to them, you know what, that's, the world isn't always fair. They'll see, like, there's a kid at the tournament, actually, that got third place. Parker was definitely better than him, and I'm not just a mom. This kid forgot shit, and I think they did it to help that kid feel better because he's probably autistic or ADD or something, and he made it through his form. Parker's was way better. So in a way, I want to be like, well, you know, maybe it was harder for him to learn that, so they gave him a trophy. But the bottom line is life's not fair. People have favorites. People have preferences. And that's just the way the world goes sometimes. So.
And don't you want your kid when he grows up, and this isn't just for you, Jen, this is for any parent, like, don't you want them to be skilled in the ways that are closer to reality and not, in the sense, skilled and brought to an understanding of things that is your idealistic wants? I mean, for example, if you're a parent with a kid and you're like, I'm going to raise him in the world that I think how the world should be, and I'm going to totally ignore how the world really is, but this is how I think the world should be. I think we should all, you know, say the N-word instead of nigger or C-word instead of cunt. Like, we'll all be happy and hug. And that's not the world. So what you're doing is you're now raising your child in your vision of the world, which is not reality. So I think that's bordering. I mean, that is child neglect, right? I mean, why is anyone
right.
talking about
this? Right, well, and
listen
to this? What Kathy's saying. This is the other end of the spectrum, too. Is
have her
call. Said,
wait,
her kid
on. What
isn't,
the fuck is Kathy? Why isn't she calling
anymore?
Yeah,
call Kathy. Her kid isn't allowed to win anything, everything at school anymore because other kids feel bad. So say he's the best writer. If he wins best writer, you know, that quarter, then he can't win it the next quarter, even if he's still the best writer, so that other kids have a turn to win. And that's what I do disagree with. Whoever gets first, second, and third really should earn it, you know. And if that means they get first every fucking time, then that means they're the best.
Yeah.
And that's okay because we aren't all equal, you know. I got, you know, whatever, Golden Glove Award all the time. And if I had to share it, and I wouldn't want to try anymore. You know, I would want to give up and be like, why would I even try? I'm not going to earn anything for it. I'm just, whatever.
No, you're right. And this
fuck
is
trophies.
I mean,
take away trophies altogether. Just play for money.
Well, the theme song at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you've heard every word, but that was it. We'll never be equal. Some of us are just better. And this pussy liberal, whatever it is, I don't even know the term, this wanting equality and fairness, people don't think things through. For instance, with Kathy's kid, who's getting basically punished for being smart. Again, think about this, people. Go into the future. What happens when you take a nation of intelligent kids and you dole them year after year and say, slow down, dude, slow down. You're making the other kids feel bad because you're smart. And you keep them down. How are we going to compete with other nations? How are we going to be inventors again like America used to be? We used to be the shining example. Now we're a bunch of fucking idiots. We're all fat and stupid. This is why. The entire pussy movement, this wanting for equality, it demeans those of us that are special. Those of us that will go on and do great things for other people, we're not pushed anymore. You look at the fucking Chinese kid in China. I mean, they're doing, like, college-level homework in the fourth grade. And I'm not for that. Not for, like, ruining their childhood. But they're pushed. And they're taught every day, like, you have to work, you have to outwork, you have to push, you have to push, you got to make shoes for these Americans, whatever Chinese kids do. And they now have grown up, and they're kicking our ass. That's why. They have a nation now of entire peoples that are dedicated to working and making money. That's all they think about. I'm not saying it's utopia, but it's why they're kicking our ass. Our kids are more concerned with fairness and not getting their feelings hurt. I just don't think people really fathom how terrifying this is. They think I'm just pushing a podcast, or those of us like me that are saying this are just angry, and it's like, I don't think you guys are thinking this through, what this is going to do, what the future of this country is, and how truly terrifying it is. When Orwell wrote 1984, it was a time where he was worried about government control, and he wrote this scary book, everyone knows 1984, and there were cameras everywhere and Big Brother, and he saw a frightening vision, and he wrote this frightening story, and it did help people think. I know, you know, in the 60s and 70s, people were reading this. It was part of everyone's curriculum, and they're like, wow, we have to be careful how much control we give the government, because that's scary. Everyone read that book and thought that. there's nobody outside of me that's painting that dystopia and terrifying vision of what happens when these kids grow up. And I think I need to. I think I need to write the book 20,084, Jen. Because just think about this. Think about a nation, again, I want you to really think about it, take a second, of kids that were not given any skills to succeed, where every single one of the brightest and best was dulled and punished for being smart, where their feelings are more important than reality, where they're raised in a bubble through their parents' idealistic wants of the world and ignored the real world. And just think about that. Just think about what kind of world that's going to be and how truly terrifying it is. And that's my thoughts. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We still have 9 minutes. We should do some more news. But anyway, Richie Incognito and this Jimmy Martin, James Martin kid, Jonathan Martin, Martin himself is one of these pussies. I know we got a caller saying he's gay. I don't care if he's gay or not. He's a pussy. I can tell you that. He's an entitled, sniveling pussy. And they're pretty much how that entire generation is. And he got into big professional football, and they were mean to him. And he quit. He quit. This kid is now turning down millions of dollars. He is in one of the most, one of the highest levels athletically you can do in the world. That's about the most money you can make off your body, is being a professional NFL player. He was given a gift to be in an elite fraternity, and he walked out of a cafeteria because the other players made him feel bullied. And this is a football player. Our football players are turning into pussies now, people. So you guys think I'm painting this frightening vision because I'm a lunatic. It's already happening. It's happening all around.
Good, maybe we'll get rid of football. It's so annoying.
Well, that's what they're, like, they're making it illegal now to play, or not illegal, but they're, like, so concerned with these kids and contact sports. Like, we did a story here on the show where one school not only stopped their football program, they banned balls you play with, football. They banned them.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, nuts.
Well, that's coming next. Trust me. They're going to start banning testicles. But they did. They won't even let the kids play ball anymore at this school. We know about the kids that are suspended for shaping Pop-Tarts into the shape of guns or even saying the word gun. They're getting suspended. These people are going to be running the world soon. They're going to be so terrified. These people are afraid of Pop-Tarts, people. You have a nation of kids that are afraid of Pop-Tarts. They're afraid of Pop-Tarts. Okay. I'm done. I'm so terrified. I hope I die before these fucking pussies take over. I hope I get some terminal illness and die, and I don't have to see just how sniveling, horrible our future is going to be. We're all going to be working for the Chinese, air quote working. We're all going to be slaves, let's be honest. We're all going to be in fucking internment camps and tortured by Chinese people for the rest of our lives. That's what's going to happen. What's our next news story? 8 minutes left.
Our next one, we have the racist police dogs that only bite Latinos and African Americans. That's in L.A.
Is that true they only bite blacks and Latinos, or is that just did someone file a suit?
It just seems like they only, I mean, what's in L.A., first of all?
Latinos
and African-Americans. Yeah, like, it's Los Angeles, so I don't understand how it's, I think they're just saying the dogs are discriminatory or discriminating.
Oh, now dogs are racist. Is that what they're saying?
Yes, the dogs are racist in LAPD.
Fucking pussies. Dogs can't be racist. They don't know.
Well, I guess they're not racist, but can they be conditioned, like Pavlov's theory?
No, I was going to say, it's totally Pavlovian. Every time they've probably arrested someone, I bet, this is going to get me in trouble, but it's the truth, I bet a high level of people dogs arrest or bite or take down are black or Latino in L.A. I just think if you run the numbers, that probably comes up. And it's not race. It's socioeconomic, okay? Poor people tend to commit stupid crimes because they're poor. They can't get helicopters to rob jewelry stores, you know what I mean? So the people that are poor in L.A. are black and Latino. So it's just the numbers match up. Poor communities commit these kinds of crimes. So, of course, a dog's going to attack a criminal, and, of course, a high number of those criminals are going to be black and Latino. The dog's not racist.
But I'm saying, I guess, are they saying, like, if a white guy is committing a crime, the dog won't bite it? Like, it doesn't go after the white guy? Because that just sounds like a disobedient dog, I guess.
I highly doubt that's happening. I bet these dogs would attack a white guy or black or Latino. They probably just bite more black and Latinos because more black and Latinos are committing these crimes around these dogs. That's all that is.
Well, Yeah, that's. I mean, the area we live all around it. It's definitely more darker skinned in Los Angeles, and you know, yeah. my family included.
And then people think that's racist. Now, if you went up to like Baker, which is about an hour north of here, where it's all like the meth capital of California, and it's all toothless white hillbillies, and they're all fucking, they're just all criminals and white trash fucking criminals. I bet the police dogs up there bite purely white people. But nobody's complaining about those dogs being racist. It just
skinny
it's
white
just
people, probably.
Toothless, tattooed skinny white people with like eye bags. That's just how it is. Like it doesn't. It's funny that people would even make this a race issue because they're like, oh, that's how people think. They see this and go, oh, dogs biting a bunch of blacks and Latinos. Dog must be racist, or the LAPD must be racist, and it's conditioning. And nobody thinks, no, there's probably just a lot more black and Latino criminals in that area. Because it's socioeconomic and poor people commit crimes like that. Why can't people just think things through? They're so afraid of being racist and labeled racist, I think. I don't know. I'm angry right now.
If I was poor, and I think that's, I learned this in student teaching too, but if I was poor, I would pretty much do anything to feed my kids. So anyway, I get it.
You're saying you would prostitute is what you're saying.
No, definitely. I do not like sex enough to be a whore. I would steal milk. I would, you know, I would break the law to feed my kids for sure.
Well, also, I mean, Jesus Christ, a lot of these poor socioeconomic groups, you know, they don't have fathers. They don't have good jobs. They live in fucking projects. They're around, like, a bunch of drug addicts that raise them out in the fucking community from the playground. It doesn't matter if they're black or Mexican or white. There's usually a lot of drug addicts and disheveled people around them. That's their positive role models. So it's like, how can you expect them? This is one of the things that always drives me crazy when they go, well, you know, when you're poor in this country, you should just work hard. Republicans always say that. Just work hard. It's not that simple. Some people just literally are raised by a bunch of degenerate drug addicts, and they never have a chance. They learn that behavior. We all model what we're learned. So, dude, whatever. It's not a racist dog. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
if it was, I want
racist.
That dog, because that'd be awesome.
Except that they do only see in black and white.
Yeah, but they smell, too. So they probably smell like cocoa butter on the black people, and like taco seasoning on the Latinos. I mean, dogs use everything. I'm sure there's a lot of things. The thing is, they will attack a criminal. So it doesn't matter. The dog doesn't go, oh, there's a white criminal. I'm going to leave him alone, give him the, like, soul brother, white power knuckle bump. The dog doesn't fucking know. Just don't run from a dog or don't fucking, if you see a police dog, just
yeah,
stop.
I know how to not get bit by a dog is to not break the law. Like, everyone that hates cops and hates all you, don't break the law. You won't have any fucking problem. It's not law-abiding citizens that have complaints. It's people that break the law. So, yeah, don't go rob liquor stores and a dog won't chase and bite you.
Yeah, seems pretty reasonable.
And they do make mistakes. They are not human. They are worse than human, and they're dogs, and they make mistakes sometimes. I mean, they are made to be aggressive dogs. They will just attack.
Can we end this show on you just talking about how much you love that story, that 300-pound guy shooting the dog?
Yeah, no. Let's talk about the ugly people on OKCupid. Oh, you mean the Marvin thing?
Yeah, but you know
that
what?
Story he sent us?
Yeah, but forget it, because I meant to tell you, the OKCupid, I went ahead and signed up to OKCupid.
Explain to everyone what OKCupid.com is.
OKCupid is the greatest dating site. We found out about this. I guess we can spend a few more minutes. Let's do some comedy, some light comedy after all my racist bashing. There's a website that lets you filter out possible future dates by body type, which I think is genius. Like basically, when you go to the search feature, like you sign up, you do your profile, it says, what are you looking for? You type female. You can type height and weight. You know, which is fine. Everyone has a specification. But if you pay extra for this site, it will allow you to basically filter out all the fatties. And you never see them. It's like they just disappear off your personal database. And, of course, because it's pussy America nowadays, a bunch of fatties are in a huff. Everyone's really pissed and finds this disgraceful. But here's the thing. It's a dating site, right? So the whole point of a dating site is that you can kind of cut through the chase of, leaving it up to Lady Luck and going directly for what you like. You can type it in a database and search it. That's why people do online dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can section off a huge portion of the population that you don't find attractive, why is that offensive to anybody?
I have no idea.
It's not offensive, right? Like,
well, it's
would you?
It's offensive to the people that aren't.
To the fatties.
Yeah.
Well, everything.
The ones
offensive.
That aren't allowed on their site, they're being discriminated from that site.
No, they're allowed on the site. They're allowed, like, a fat woman can go on there, and her name could be Miss Piggy 2007 or whatever, and she can have a fat profile, and she can meet other guys. She can find even guys that, like, are chubby chasers, but she's going to be sectioned off from somebody that says, you know, basically, I don't want to see a fat woman. And women
well, you
can
know
do
what
the
all
it
these retards don't get is you can put in whatever number and any picture you want. Don't people understand
right.
the catfish world? Like, it's kind of a dumb site because they could lead people on for a long time as to what they look like or who they are. And if I was a fat person, I would want to go to that site and pretend that I was some hot chick and totally,
right.
like, lure someone in just to punish them for being hateful.
Or just so you can feel what it's like to have, you know, online romance and what it's like to be attractive. You know, I do that a lot on Twitter because sometimes people think I'm attractive there because I don't put a lot of my pictures up. And it's nice. Like, for a second, I'm like, oh, this would be what life would be like if I were not so physically repulsive in public. And it's cool. I get it. It's got its unique charms. But I joined the site. My name is No Fat Chicks for the Win. I really did this, Jen. I'm not joking. I did say I was married. But I put my real picture up. I said I was ushering in a movement of mental health. And, you know, I described myself a little bit, and I really wanted to see how this site works to, you know, I was researching for the show to filter out fatties, but then I found out you have to pay for that service, and I'm not going to pay. So the last thing I want to say on this news story, you have to pay for the ability to cut out the fatties. It's like an extra $8 a month or something.
They should just go on Twitter. It's free.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway, if anyone wants to check it out or befriend me on OkCupid, it is No Fat Chicks FTW. I'm on there. Let's get me hooked up with somebody. All right, do we have anything else to do, Jen? You think
like
I'm kidding,
you need
right?
anyone else.
Gordy
no,
never
I don't
called
think
back,
you're kidding.
For the record.
No, I know, I'm bummed, but
I'm done with Brody.
What can we do?
I'm over it. I'm saying it on air. I'm done. I'm fucking over it, and I'm done, and I fucking can't take it. It was nice of him to call, and I appreciate his calls. I was excited about his call. I appreciate everything he's done, but this kind of shit, I can't take anymore. I can't.
No, and I told him, too, like, you're on hold. Hang on just a second. I want to tell this one thing about trophies, but so I don't know what to say. So anyway, at least you have your fat account or whatever.
Yeah. I love that it gives you the option of saying you're married on a dating site, which means
yeah,
that
it's
is
so
also
weird.
Searchable. That's just, do you know there's a dating site called Ashley Madison where it's for married
oh, yeah.
people to go on
yes.
to find people to fuck? How weird
yes.
is that?
Yes. Like I said, why don't they just go on Twitter?
Yeah. I mean,
you can find you people just, to fuck on Twitter.
Oh, God bless you. Yes, you can. Thank God for Twitter. All right. I think that's it. Anything else?
No. I think one story was bullshit, right?
Yeah, the titty thing.
There was one. Yeah, Eli found a story that said looking at boobs for 10 minutes a day can actually make you happier.
I believe
that. Yeah, but it said it was a hoax. Like, it really isn't true. I guess, in a way, I was thinking, I think it could be true. But it seems
I mean,
a hoax.
It's true. Like, if you look at something, if you're around something that makes you happy, you would be happy. Like, if I were in a room full of, like, naked women, I'd probably be a little bit happier, right? I mean, that makes sense. But
happier,
I doubt there was like a
maybe.
Actual, for a short period of time. And then I would start
pre-jacking really short.
Yeah. Then I'd have to awkwardly walk out pulling my pants away from the wet spot that's sticking. All right, I think I've offended enough people. Is anyone mad at me in the chat room? Anything I need to know before I go?
Probably just Brody. Can I ask you one question before we go, too, if this is inappropriate, because I didn't know what to say. My 6-year-old, Parker, told me when I put on my jacket the other day that he loved my jacket, that it looked good with my boobs. Is that weird?
Not for 6 years old. I don't think that's weird. But if he's like 17 and he's still talking to you that way, then yeah, that's creepy. I think the cutoff for like, you know, boys looking at their mom's boobs or any of that stuff, because this is totally Freudian and Oedipal, this is normal. I think when they get about 8 or 9, you want them to stop talking about your boobs. That's when you should start worrying. That's my profession.
Well, and I think he's almost doing it as shock humor. He is my son, so he's being funny. You know, like, I like your jacket, especially with your boobs.
Yeah, or maybe he's just got, you know, an interest in fashion. And that's kind of cool. Like, that's a good eye. Like, that jacket looks really nice on your figure. That's something an adult would say.
That's true.
Yeah.
I should just teach him. I told him not to be inappropriate with mommy's body. And he said, but we're at home.
Rape culture.
Weirdo.
Hashtag.
Yeah, right.
I think if he's like, if he starts, you know, at 12 and 13 when, you know, your body changes and like dry humping becomes wet humping, I don't know how to say medically what's going to happen. You figure
no,
it out.
He's just sweet. He's sweet.
Yeah. He's sweet. But no, if he's getting boner, like when you start finding towels that are crusty in his room and he's starting to talk about your boobs, then take him to the doctor.
Okay, I will. I promise.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
What's that?
I said thank you.
Thank you. And next week, are we doing Michael Fishman? Is that happening?
Yeah, Fishman's supposed to, I'll double check with him, but he's supposed to come on. We thought we'd do a little bit of a Thanksgiving, you know, pre-prep, mental prep for dealing with family, so have maybe a few of your family. I might be able to get a sister of mine to call in. That would be really awkward.
Like how to survive the holidays with your fucked up family. I could definitely teach that.
Yeah, my sister actually would be a good one because she has to deal with my dad. Ha ha. So maybe we will have a few of our family members call in if we're ready to let that happen.
Sounds like we'll be crying for the entire show. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go.
Maybe she'll talk about the time she drugged my dad at the last Thanksgiving. Okay.
That sounds awesome.
Have a great week.
You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everybody.